To me, Bobby Brian is about to build the strong characters. To build the strong character, if you build the strong character, of course, in positive ways, right?
So, welcome to the Brave Bold Brilliant podcast. I'm here today with Budi, who is the general manager of the Pullman Mandalika here in wonderful Lombok. Nice to see you, Budi.
Thank you very much. This is an honor to me. To meet you, Janet, this afternoon. Hopefully, we can chat a nice chat each other sharing about the hospitality industry.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And you, because you've been in the industry a long time, Budi, haven't you? When did you actually start in hospitality?
Well, actually, I started on 1990. It's about 34 years ago. Yeah, I started in Bali. In one of five-star hotel in Nusa Dua, Bali.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that and what position was that? Were you, because you were pretty young then, back then, Budi.
Right.
What was your first position?
On that time, I still 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right. 20 years old. Of course, I start in hotel industry from rank and file. I start from the housekeeping department. I'm not that lucky on that time because I'm not start from the hotel university. I just start from senior high school, and luckily I can work in five star hotel in Nusa Dua, Bali, in very very famous brand, I think. And then the thing is that even though I don't have experience in education of hotel school, but I'm a learner. So I start with a staff rank and file for 2 years, and then within 2 years I become the supervisor. So because I'm a learner, I want to learn something new. I don't want to be behind the other staff. I want to be the same level with other staff. So yeah, finally with my passion in hospitality industry, I can start together with all the staff on that time, and I work there for 4 years, you know, as a supervisor level in the beginning of my career.
Fantastic. So when you were started out in the industry, Bali then would have been quite a new tourist destination.
Yes,
compared to today.
Yeah.
Where it's completely changed.
Yes,
what have been the main changes, do you think, in the industry during the time that you've been in this profession?
Yeah, this is a good question. On that time, on 1990, you know, in terms of talent development, of course, technology and customer focus, it's quite different. Mm. You know, I still experience using, you know, if you're talking about the technology, right, in the computer science, I'm still has experience using, you know, Lotus 1-2-3.
On the time. I am old enough to remember this. Trust me. I think we're a similar age, so yeah.
And now, you know, if you're talking about the growth, it's changed so much. You know, in talent development as well, it's quite different approach, and customer focus also different. But there are so many changes. The hotel industry is very dynamic, very dynamic. So until today, we can change. You know, we can see the changes. There's a lot from 30 years ago and what happened now.
Mm, and I think you know, social media, right, is a massive impact. You know, I think a lot of customers will often see what's happening on social media. They mm-hmm. may watch a video about a destination or a friend's recommendation, then that will often mean that they choose to visit the hotel. How has that influenced the hotel here? Do you use social media a lot, or does the team use social media to promote the hotel, Budi?
Yeah, of course, this help a lot. As you know, that our resort is just open about 1 year plus. So we need to do the massive promotion. And one of the tools is of course social media. And nowadays as everyone has their own social media. We try to engage all the social medias and try to make a program to promote our hotel, what's going on in the hotel, what is the facility of the hotels. We try to spread all this information to our leads, clients, guests, and not only locally, domestic in Indonesia, but it's internationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And the hotel that we're in, which is absolutely beautiful, if you're watching this on YouTube and you're watching the video, you'll see we're here and it's got a beautiful, beautiful restaurant behind us. We're in a private dining area here, so we could be quiet. Right. And in fact, Chris and I, my lovely partner Chris, we came for 4 nights originally, and then within 24 hours, well, I think within about 2 hours actually, we said, oh my God, this place is magic, we have to stay longer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We extended our stay by another 4 nights, so poor Booty, you can't get rid of us. But the hotel is fantastic, so this
Thank
is the Pullman. It's been open a year, just over a year. Talk a little bit around the client profile that, that you have here in the hotel, because it's quite an interesting mix of different type of business that you have.
Yeah, well, for now, we still dominated by the domestic market, which is MICE market. In terms of volume, domestic market still dominated. But for international market is spread out in different region, like Australia is still at the top ranks of foreign market, and then European market like Germany, Italian, Spanish, and all this is mixed. You know, this is, we talk about market share against our resort is still a need. Our support from the government in terms of connectivity, a flight, international direct flight, because from now we only have two direct flight, which is from Singapore and Kuala Lumpur. So this is the thing, so that's why the domestic market also still dominated the market share in here.
Yeah, and you can just see, I mean, Lombok is a a gem of a of an island. It's so beautiful, and we've been out and about on our moped under your recommendations where to go. Thank you very much. But you can see that tourism is going to expand here.
Right.
And I think there are some quite exciting developments planned along this whole area. I don't know, are you able to share any of those, Buddy, in terms of the expansion plans for the for Lombok?
Right. Let me explain about the shareholder, the owning company. Our owning company is the government's actually under IDDC, we call it. IDDC is government who managing the Nusa Dua area. Maybe you, everybody knows about Nusa Dua area in Bali, right? So this is owned by IDDC. And then IDDC also developed the new area, which is in Mandalika, Lombok, in here. The bigger size of this area is 3 times compared to Nusa Dua, which is quite huge. It's about 1,000 hectares something. From now, they try to develop the accommodation hotels facilities, and they already signed with some you know investor. It's like tennis court, the international tennis court. We have a beach club surrounding this area, golf course in the future. Something like that, you know. So I think in the future, this is the same like when I entered the Bali on 1990, which is in my area also managed by IDDC. This is I think the same period of 1990 in Bali right now. So within 5 or 10 years next, I think will be massive development in here. And as you know, inside the Mandalika there is a international circuit which is. We will host the MotoGP every year. The contract is up to 10 years, you know, this year on September 2024. So I think this is become the most priority destination in Indonesia.
Yes. And like you say, once you get more international flights into the destination, it will totally change. I mean, I've been in travel and tourism for 30 years, so I'm showing my age as well. And I'm always have two perspectives. On the one hand, I love to see tourism grow and develop and what it can do for an economy and creating jobs, etc. But there's another part of me that's the intrepid explorer that still really likes to find places before they become too busy, you know? And I think there's always this challenge about how do we develop tourism responsibly so that we don't ruin the natural environment. And, you know, I know that with Accor and with Pullman, you have a big focus on sustainability, don't you? So do you want to just talk about some of the initiatives around plastics, food waste, and things that you do? Because I've seen some amazing approaches here that I think other hoteliers could also benefit from learning. So yeah, maybe just share some of those things that you do with in sustainability.
It is true. This is part of Accor program. We need to support from each hotel and resort in all over the world, you know. What we see now in our resort also, there is no single plastic usage. Even in a restaurant, even in the rooms, in all area, we are not using single-use plastic anymore, right? So this is our contribution from our property that we support you know, the environment become sustained. We maintain all the environment becomes better. It's not because we are facing the climate change, right? So, so in Accor also has a program in Accor there is a school of change, we call it. The school of change means every general manager, every members, we should go through to the course. And should understand about this issue. So on that school of change, we can get something and implement it in the hotels. So that's why we can support the sustainable program.
And I notice a lot of the food that's cooked here is cooked fresh. So again, food waste. And I was reading an article from Brune Orson, who is the Chief Sustainability Officer for Accor Group. And in that article, I think it was in The Hotelier in January, that it was just written, and it said that 30% of the world's food is wasted. 30%, I never realized it was so high. But I think the way that you manage the level of food here is very impressive, because as I say, a lot is cooked to order, which means you're not wasting produce. How important has that been, do you think, for the offering?
Well, the first of all, of course, we should understood the situation one day before about the number of guests, the one day prior, you know, before cooking for the breakfast. And that's why we built, prepare two open kitchen in here, which is Asian and Western food. So this is also one of the initiative that we are not prepare the entire food in once, but if we need to recook again, we need to prepare again, we can do in another minute. So everything is ready, everything is half prepared. And then if necessary, we just recook according the needs, the total guests of in the breakfast, you know. As you see, you know, in the time, nearly breakfast finish time, maybe at 10:30, there is not that many of food left, you know, in the counter, in the buffet area, right? So this is the thing that we have to proper calculation, and there is a measure. Accor measure what is and also we make a record after the breakfast finish. We have to record what is the food left. We have to put in the scale how many kg and so on and so on. Yeah, we record in daily basis, and we still in line with the Accor standard or not. So this is the thing. So we have to plan correctly about the food preparation. I agree with that, absolutely agree.
Yeah. And it's interesting because as a customer, when you visit a hotel, you don't always appreciate how much detail planning and metrics goes on behind the back of house, front of house.
Right.
So I think it's fantastic. I can say the food is delicious. But let's talk a little bit about the team.
Right.
Because again, your people is everything, isn't it? We're in the people business. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're in the hotel business, we're in the people business.
Correct.
And service is everything, really. The team here are genuinely phenomenal. How do you go about building a team from scratch? Because you were here pre-opening, mm-hmm. weren't you, Budi? So right from the beginning, how do you go about building a great team?
Yes. In Lombok, actually, we have a challenge to get what I can call the fit talent to be hired in here. However, we can develop from the local people here, become our staff, but some leaders still coming from Java and so on. But from the rank and file, from the staff, we can develop from here. There is a hotel school here. There is local people here. You know, we have a program. It's like we invite the local people to have the training about the hotels. We educate them. You know, like for example, it's not that many in one batch. Or for example, like 15. Local people, we train about the housekeeping, we train about the F&B service, waiter, waitress, and so on. And finally, we have about 90% is local hire in here, local Lombok. So as you can see, the comment from the guest feedback, mostly they are very happy with the staff, how they got the service from the staff, and the friendly of the staff and so on. So this is the thing. Even we have the challenge, I think there is another way to create the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just go back to another stage of your career, Budi, because when we were having breakfast the other day, you were explaining a little bit more about your journey and the different parts of the world that you'd worked in. Middle East has been a big part of your career, hasn't it, as well? So do you want to just maybe bring to life a little bit around the areas of the world that you've worked in before obviously coming back to Lombok and to Indonesia?
From 1990 to 2005, I worked in different city of Indonesia. But at that time, I feel that I need to broaden my experience. I want to have international experience on 2005. So at that time, one of opportunity from Doha, Qatar. Mm-hmm. On that time, they hired on 2005 committee of Asian Games, 2006. So most of my colleagues are from Olympic Sydney and so on. So it's very interesting at that time. So I worked for Asian Games in Doha, Qatar since 2005. I handled two international events. One is a West Asian Games 2005 and Asian Games on 2006. But again, I'm still focused on hotel industry. Mm. It's not focused on sport. Event, but I'm supporting sport event, but still focused on hotel industry. As a committee, we have to make sure that accommodation is sufficient to host the Asian Games event 2006. So this is the scope that I work on that time. So time to time, I deal with the owner how to prepare the room, the standard of Asian Games, and finally on 2006. Nearly the event on December 2006, and the room still not sufficient, so that's why we still need to have the cruise ship from somewhere to as become, you know, like a floating hotels.
Yeah. Yes, I remember.
So this is how we, you know, to accommodation during the Asian Games at that time. Okay, after that, after finish the Asian Games, it's not exist because Asian Games we finished on 2006, and the committee is also finished on 2007, and at that time I moved to Kuwait, you know, work in one of 5-star hotel in Kuwait City. And then after that, I move again to Egypt.
Egypt,
yeah, yes. In Cairo. However, our owner also own the cruise line in Nile River.
Yes.
You know, operate in Nile River. Our owner own about 5 or 6 cruise line, a 5-star also cruise line. Time to time, I travel also from Luxor to Aswan to Cairo. It's very interesting, you know. Still in hotel hospitality industry. And then after that, after 2 years contract, and then I move back to Qatar, to Doha, Qatar, in one of the hotels. And then the total is about 8 years. I was in the Middle East and go back to Indonesia. And I joined in Accor in Meku, Surabaya.
Yes. Yeah, and what year was that when you joined the
Corps? 2013, I think.
13, yeah, 13. Okay.
2013, so, yeah.
And has it been 11 years then, since 2013, right the way through to today with the Corps? Did you have some gaps in between?
Some gaps, you know.
Yes.
I joined with another groups and then rejoined again with our Corps on 2016.
Okay.
2016, I was a general manager for North Hotel and Ibis Style Solo. For 3 years, and I moved to Mercure and Ibis Samarinda pre-opening for 4 years, and then finally since last year I joined in this beautiful property, yeah. Pullman Lombok Mandalika.
Yeah, wow! I mean, what a career you've had! An interesting career, interesting life. You know, all the different environments that you've worked in, teams of different nationalities. Mm. What do you think were some of the big lessons that you learned during your time in the Middle East that has helped you in your career? Can you think of anything particular that stands out that you think, oh, actually, it was a good experience because it built my resilience, or, you know, what you bring back to the role you have today is the product of all of those different years and years of different experiences beforehand?
The first of all, of course, the network. Yeah. You know, when I was in Middle East, I still communicate with my colleagues in Middle East. You know, sometimes my colleagues still asking, Abudi, I need stuff for this hotel, do you have a candidate for that? And something like that, you know. And the next, of course, I love to see the new places. Yeah. I love to see the new places. This is, to me, is something like a new experience. I always enjoy whenever the Accor assign me, for example, like from Solo to Samarinda, from Samarinda to Lombok. I always enjoy the place. So that's why I'm not demanding of this. I should in here and there. No, whenever Accor place me in some of the hotel, of course I agree, and I will try to enjoy this assignment.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I think when you work with different nationalities,
sure. I love to see the new culture also.
Yes.
I deal with the different culture. A lot of friends from other countries, like from India, like from Philippines, like from Arabic, of course. So many. Connection.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and you're right, because also you have international clients, and if you've spent time in different parts of the world, when you're talking to a customer or a guest, you know, very often you might have even been in their country or know someone, and it creates such a rich experience, doesn't
it?
Yeah, definitely. I remember the times when I was at TUI, and I was at the time as managing director of the emerging market. So I used to have a team in China, Brazil, Russia, Ukraine, India, and I learned so much during that period of my career, just in terms of how to be respectful to other cultures, how to have higher emotional intelligence. Yeah. And be able to listen a lot more. and not speak as much. And it really was one of the most fulfilling times to spend in different countries and different business environments. So Budi, when you open a hotel,
right,
and you were here pre-opening, what's the secret to success of a good opening of a hotel, in your opinion? What were the things that really make the difference?
Well, before the hotel opened, of course we deal with some stakeholder. One is Accor. Accor, of course, we have to collaborate to implement all the standard. Yeah, the brand standard should be implemented, and we deal with the owners, of course. Normally it's about the timeline when we open the hotels and so on. And we deal with the contractor.
Yeah.
So we have to combine this communication all together. So when I was in Samarinda, I opened on the hotel only within 6 months. When I hire on that time, I remember on August 2019. So I opened a hotel, I think it's on February 2020, a month before COVID.
Wow, oh my gosh.
A month before COVID, yeah. So only six. So I opened two hotels, it's quite challenging. However, got support from Accor, got support from owner, of course. So that's why make easier for me. So and also we have to think about when we need to hire the head of department, when we need to hire the supervisory level and rank and file level and so on. We have to make a plan nicely, so that's why when the hotel opened, there is no issue.
Do you always do a full opening with hotels, or do you ever do like a soft opening where it's part of the hotel?
Yeah.
What's is that useful sometimes to do a soft opening?
Yeah, because there is a standard of the Accor, soft opening also should be read in some percentage of level number of rooms, you know. For example, if we have a 300 room, at least soft opening should be how many percents of room, something like that. Of course, yes, in this hotel also, when we did the soft opening on 2022, August on 2022, also still maybe about some hotel room opens and this restaurant open, but another restaurant still not open, and also the villa still not open. And then last June or July last year, 2023, all the facilities open.
So
we need about less than 1 year to do the grand open. On that time, on August 2023, and grand opening also inaugurated by Minister Eric Tohir. Last year.
So you have, as a general manager, you have to manage the full P&L of the hotel. Yes?
Yes.
You have to manage all the stakeholders, owners, a core head office, local politicians, government officials, etc. And all of your years of experience, I'm sure has meant you're very able to manage those stakeholders. Which ones are the most challenging to manage in your experience?
Yeah, actually, owner, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Owner is, of course, expecting a lot because they spend a lot also to build the resort. I can understand absolutely, because owner is spending a lot to build the hotels, to buy the land and so on. And of course, if they trust us to manage the hotel, we need to try to find out to get the business. If I can give example in 4 years back when I do opening, when I did the opening in Mercure and Ibis Samarinda, you know, on 2020, I can reach GOP about 360% closing year 2020. Wow. This is during pandemic. And then 2021, 2021, we closed at 192%, reaching the GOP, gross operating profit. And 2022, in Samarinda, we closed at 172%.
As so a percent over, of the target.
As a percent of the target. Yes, so I mean, over. 72% over.
Over, yes, yeah.
And last year, in here, over 62% from the budget. So the thing is that there is a measurement, which is a budget,
yes,
as a target. However, as a general manager, I'm not only focused to budget, but we focus on forecast, and I'm more focused on the opportunity that I face on that time. For example, even though during the pandemic in Samarinda and all, we try to get opportunity how we deal with the government market during the pandemic and allow to have the event and allow to have the guests inside the hotel, even there is some restriction at that time. And finally, I'm all happy, you know, we got the revenue achieved, GOP achieved, RevPAR achieved, and so on. This our 5 year in row.
Incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. And that creativity, you know, that thinking outside of the box. And that doesn't that's not dictated from head office. That's you taking the initiative, right?
Yeah, I just give you example. When I was in Samarinda during the pandemic, you know, there is a policy from the government, right, from Jakarta, that we cannot have the event like this and that, you know. We only have the event maximum for 20% or 20%, something like that. So, you know, if we work in secondary city, the advantage is we quite close with the government. For example, like governor, like a mayor, something like that. We're very close. So at that time, I become the chairman of the General Manager Association in East Kalimantan. So this is another advantage, because make me closer to that government. So time to time, they invite me for discussion, you know. But the thing is that the business must go on during the pandemic again, but we still commit to you know, standard of COVID,
of course, yeah,
the healthy standard and so on. We put, you know, like hand sanitizer, wearing the mask, and then keep the distance and so on. It's still, we still this one. And finally, when we communicate, we closely make relation with the government and so on. It's, you know, we can achieve everything at the time. It's very easy. And different approach in different hotel, you know. When I was in Solo, it's not like that, it's different. When I was in Solo, you know, newspaper, radio still dominated how to promote the hotel. But in Samarinda, it's different. Newspaper, radio, maybe keep aside. What is the most important there is influencer. So that's why I very close with most of influencer in that city. So it's easier for me to promote and so on.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. We, of course, we have the experience, but not all the best practices can implement in the same or in different hotels. This is the thing. We have to think about that. So we need to describe what the need of this resort. For example, I give the information of this resort. It's different also when I manage in Samarinda. In Samarinda, the local people are spending more. They're willing to spend. In here, different. So that's why time to time, I need to think how if the local people is not spending like Samarinda. So I think to expand. I promote time to time. I went to Jakarta, Surabaya, sorry. Why Surabaya? Because there is a cheapest direct flight from Surabaya to Lombok and so on. So this happened. So corporate is coming, government is coming, because I cannot develop the local market. Because the local market is not that big as Samarinda market. So this is the initiative that we need to adapt in the, you know, in the situation, we have to face the situation and then we have to adapt.
Yeah, think creatively and see how you can, and all credit to you, you know, you've had amazing results. Mm. You're now, you're GM at this wonderful hotel. Mm. You've had a fantastic career. Mm. What are you most proud of in your career, would you say? There's probably lots of things you're proud of. Maybe it's hard to pick one.
In the beginning, on 1990, like I mentioned in the beginning, I don't have a courage to, you know, to think that one day I'm become a GM. Mm. You know, I never think that one day I become a GM. But the thing is that I always take a great opportunity in front of me, and you know, when I have the responsibility, I have to do the best when I in charge in the property and all. So that's why I try to make always grow in my career. So I become the first GM on 2012, I'm not mistaken. So I think so. Yeah, this is the most make me proud of myself that finally 2012 I can become a general manager, and until now I manage in different hotel.
Mm.
3-star hotel, 4-star hotel, and finally now I manage the premium 5-star hotel of Accor brand, which is Pullman, lovely resort.
Yeah, and you should feel incredibly proud, incredibly proud. And it's not easy being a general manager, because it's very much it's not just a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. You know, you pour your heart and soul into this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a beautiful family as well. Right. How do you manage the home life, mm-hmm, with the demands of being a general manager when you're never really fully off duty, you know? How do you manage that? Because I think that's a tough topic.
This is Accor is the company good to work in, because Accor also implementing work-life balance. So 5 days work and 2 days off. So within these 2 days off, maybe on Saturday and Sunday, I try to spare my time with the family. You know, if in Lombok, maybe I went out to the islands, to the waterfall, to the mountain, sometime to shopping center in Mataram, and all this is the thing that I spend. How I manage time within the work, 5 days work and 2 days with the family, you know.
Yeah, and how do you keep a positive mindset? Because you've just described quite a few times when it's been very challenging. COVID was one particular time, but there's always something in hospitality, you know, you have to deal with difficult situations. How do you personally keep yourself very positive so you can deal with the challenges when they come?
The first of all, to me, we have to love our job, of course. Otherwise, I create the positive ambience environment to all my staff. Mm. I don't want they afraid to me. I don't want I become afraid to them. You know, I want they are happy going to work every day, because I try to create the positive environment. In that case, is not that difficult to manage the people, to manage the situation, because as a team we work together during the busy period. We work together, and also like last weeks, we just had, you know, like a team building activity for all the staff, and everybody happy, you know. As you can see, all the staff in here always smile, a sincere smile. It's not something like that, you know. I try to make this environment in work situations like that. You know, I just, that's kind of leader is, I don't want that they're just afraid to me. No, I open 24 hours in my mobile. My office is, the door is always open for them, you know. Like Accor has the tool, for example, like the GM tables for all the staff. So I invite for each department to discuss with me in person in these tables, you know, once a month, and they are free to talk, they are free to give the suggestion and so on. So on the management side, after they give the suggestion, we show to them that we are implement, we are follow up everything. So this is good for staff, good for customers, and good for management. I just give for example, like the staff, because the staff itself is the one who feel direct in the operation. If the operation become difficult, then the one feel it.
Yeah.
For example, if they try to bring the hot work from here to the beach, if there is event to the beach, Pak Budi, there is no way to bring the hot work because you know, the pathway is like this. This is the suggestion from the staff. The management should try to give the solution. So on that day, we just give the real nice pathway, so easier to stop. This is the thing. This is one of the sample that GM table is very important, because sometimes we are busy thinking about the business, but we don't know what happened in downstairs. Something like that.
Yeah. You can see, genuinely, I've not come across one person in the hotel that isn't smiling genuinely, and seems very content with their work. And yeah, I think all credit to you. It's all about the people, as we said. So, you know, fantastic. And Budi, you know, you will have had lots of advice over the years. You know, people give you advice all the time. Some of it's good advice, some of it maybe less good advice.
Well,
can you think of a good piece of advice that has helped you?
Yeah. I still see some hotel staff still enjoying the comfort zone. The people said maybe comfort zone. But this is not true, you know. If you see some hotels, they work in one hotel for 20 years in the same position. When I'm also guilty, I always try to ask, you know, why you want to stay in the same hotel for 20 years? Oh, Pak Budi, because after I'm retired, I will get the pension, and so on and so on. And I ask, how much you get pension? And then I try to explain. If you want to grow and you want to develop the career, you don't looking for job, but you're looking for career. It's different. If you're looking for career, you want to develop, you will develop your position, your career path. Maybe from this resort, you go to another hotel, but a different position. And one day you become experienced hotelier, and one day you become a leader. And your pension, in the end of your retirement, it's nothing compare your career. I said that he just realized, and then it's too late, you know.
Yes.
This is the thing, how they calculate sometimes is wrong. They need the leader, they need the they need someone to guide them.
Yeah.
So another suggestion is be yourself. Maybe be yourself is like simple word, you know, but to me it's very, very meaningful. Be yourself. Somebody is no need to copy somebody else, but sometimes we can see, you know, if one of the staff getting late, and they just want to, and why the another staff is getting late is no problem. Tomorrow I will do the same. This is not the way, right? So.
No.
So if somebody take a break for 1.5 hours, and why I'm not, something like that. So be yourself mean if you think you are right, don't see other people doing wrong. So something like that. So in this case, I think the people will have the strong character, the positive character to build his career in the futures.
Yeah, I think it's really good advice, actually. Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Focus on the right things, and don't worry, don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah.
Be your own.
Because everybody has own the potential, different yeah. potential.
Completely, yeah. completely. You have your life, right? Mm-hmm. You're the captain of your own ship, mm-hmm. yeah. I think, as we say. And, you know, it's been an exciting year, last year for you, with the first year with the hotel open, and then this year is now, you know, mature, getting more mature, and the business. If you were to describe this year in one word, Budi, what would it be and why?
Incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah. Incredible this year. Because and the reason why I excited to face the real years of 2024. Because last year I still cannot make as a benchmark, because the first semester, January to May, still, you know, soft opening. Mm-hmm. Not all facilities is open, and not all room is open. And this year is completely open. I want to see the result of this year by implementing all the initiative. It's not easy. The target this year is about 60% above last year. It's not easy.
No.
So that's why I'm excited to see the challenge, yeah. to see the opportunity what we are facing in 2024, and I'm excited to celebrate the end of the year.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I can't wait to see how the results are. Yeah. I'm sure you'll smash yeah. them. And, you know, Budi, this podcast is all about high performance, sharing our ideas, experiences. Right. And, you know, the podcast is called Brave, Bold, Brilliant. Mm-hmm. 3 B's. When you hear that, what does that mean to you? Brave, bold, brilliant.
To me, bold, brilliant is about to build the strong characters, you know, to build the strong character. If you build the strong character, of course, in positive ways, right? The build strong character in positive ways, in order to build the career path in the futures. For example, the disciplines, you know, the integrities, and something like that. So, to me, it's like that.
Fantastic. No, that's yeah. great. I agree. Wonderful. And Budi, thank you so much. You know, I you know, pounced on you and asked you if you would come on this podcast spontaneously, and straight away you said yes. And I love that. I love your energy. Yeah. I think you've got an incredible hotel here, and you should rightly feel very proud. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Janet, for this opportunity to talk each other in person with you. You know, this is very rare opportunity that I can speak to you in person, and again, this is my honor to meet you this time.
Thank you, Budi.
Thank you.
I really hope you've enjoyed Brave, Bold, Brilliant. Don't forget to subscribe and share with all your friends. And if you've enjoyed listening, I'd love it if you'd leave me a 5-star review.